I'm deeply grateful to Benny and to all the officers of Frum Divorce for inviting me to come to speak at this very, very special Matzah Shabbos. It's an honor once again to see the Zmiras group. They've electrified the people at Frum Divorce in so many events that I've been to. It's just a cover to be in their presence. I thank Debbie as well for all the work that she does, and again for facilitating this great evening together. I wish we could get the light on so I could see my notes. Could we get this light on here? Thank you. On day one, God said, let there be light. The Pasuk tells us in Megillas Esther that Haman said to Achashverosh, Yeshnoi am echad mufuzar umufoirad beno amim. There's a nation that's spread apart and splintered asunder throughout the land. Now, what he meant to tell Achashverosh was that the Jews were all over the place and that we got to get rid of them. But Mefarshim say that Esther understood a deeper meaning in the words that Haman said. When he said, Yeshnoi am echad mufuzar umufoirad, when he said that a nation was splintered and set apart, it wasn't only physically. It was within themselves that Klal Yisrael was not getting along with each other. And when Klal Yisrael has a lack of unity and Klal Yisrael has a lack of achdus, that's the time when tzaras happened. And so what did Esther say to Mordechai? Mefarshim said, she said these three words, Leich Kenois Eskol Yehudim. Gather everybody together. It's time for Achtus. Because if Chas V'Shalom, there's no Achtus in Klal Yisrael, the Yeshuas and the Chamais that we're all waiting for cannot happen. And I can only tell you, as the previous speaker mentioned, that this Shabbos was a time of Achtus. Somebody mentioned to me, a big Talmud Chacham mentioned, that perhaps, think about this, perhaps since the Yidden got together at Har Sinai, think about that, there has never, ever been as many Jews doing one thing in such a unified fashion as was this Shabbos. There were over 1,500,000 Yidden around the world involved in this Shabbos project. Whenever, I mean, all of us that were at MetLife Stadium and we saw 100,000 by Siyam HaShas, that was incredible. But could you imagine what it looks like from Shemayim? 1,500,000. Do you know, I was in Los Angeles this week. They told me, to me, it's hard to believe. Pico Boulevard was shut down Friday night. Could you believe that? I mean, anybody who's ever been to Los Angeles, to think that Pico was shut down so there should be a Friday night Suda is absolutely mind-boggling. That's like shutting down Ocean Parkway or shutting down, Rockaway Turnpike. What does Rockaway Turnpike compare? You know, it should be Moichami in the five towns. But, what does it compare to Pico? It's just unbelievable. Do you know that in Buenos Aires, there were 4,500 women that baked challah? 4,500 women. So the person who told it me, I say, how do you say challah in Spanish? He said, challah. So I told him that when I had a bris once in Puerto Rico, I said, how do you say mazel tov? They said, mucho nachas. Fine. So if you could say mucho nachas in Puerto Rico, you could say challah in Buenos Aires. Do you know that in Melbourne, they had a suda of over 1,000 people Friday night? 1,000 people all together because of this Shabbos project. And in Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Warren Goldstein, of course, he's the one who started this idea, he's a dear friend of mine in South Africa. So he wrote an article because he was in Eretz Yisrael, and it's hard to believe, but over 70 cities and towns got together in different areas, over 50,000 people, many of them who never kept Shabbos before in their lives, got together. And he said it so beautifully. He said, Israelis are going about their lives with determination and dignity in defiance of the violence. Amazing. Everybody's afraid to go into the streets. I have a sister. She tells me the parks are empty. The shopping places are empty because every woman is afraid to go. And which store doesn't have an Arab in there? Every store has an Arab working behind the counter or on the shelves, except the Swarm store. That's the only place I never saw an Arab. But otherwise, you never know where it's coming from. And yet, 50,000 people? This past Shabbos, I was in Manhattan together with Rabbi Shippel, who's also from South Africa. We had at least 200, 250 people for a Shabbos Suda. There were 100 young fellows who never kept Shabbos before. It was the most unbelievable sight to see how they're trying to learn how to daven, how they're trying to sing, how they're trying to fit in. Some of these guys are in Yeshiva University. They're in the JSS program. Rabbi Shippel is the head of the program. Guys from Moscow, guys from Kansas City, guys from Mid-America. Never kept a Shabbos. So this is the Shabbos of Achdus. This is Leich Kenois as Kol HaYehudim. We should feel so proud, any one of us that was involved in any which way of a Shabbos program. You know that you're part of a big thing that's beyond ourselves. It's Mamash Achdus. As somebody said, since Hasinai, we've never seen anything like this. And you know, we've come together tonight for a Malav Malka. A Malav Malka of sorts. And what is the word Malav Malka? Where does it come from? And you know, Mefarshim says something very interesting. Malava means to accompany. And the simple meaning is that we accompany the Shabbos. The Shabbos queen was here, so we make a little party and we accompany the queen as she goes back, as Shabbos goes back to its place. But I once heard the Novominska Rebbe say something different. Malava Malka means that the queen is accompanying us. We have to take from this Heilige Shabbos together. The Shabbos is going to accompany us into the week. And so what do we take with us from this Heilige Shabbos? The Shabbos is going to accompany us. That's the pshat in Malava Malka. It's not only that we accompany the queen, but the queen is accompanying us. So we have to think tonight, if there's such a great Shabbos, what can we take and what can the Shabbos accompany us? What did we see on Shabbos and how can we take something along with us? And I'll tell you something very interesting. I want to share with you a story of Achdus and concern. Such a beautiful story. Because what I saw this Shabbos, which I'm sure went all over so many places, it went on in so many places. People that were Shema Shabbos for many years were helping those who are not yet Shabbos observant and trying to make them understand what Shabbos was all about, to show them the Siddur, to show them the English translation, to sing the Zmiris with them. So I want to tell you a very touching story that I heard about Rav Shlomo Zalman recently. We all know Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was from the most beloved Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. There were over 1 million people at his Levaya. So he had a nephew named Rav Michal. And he called Rav Michal about an hour or two before Bedikas Chametz, the night when everybody checks for Chametz. And he said, tomorrow, after you burn the Chametz, I want you to come to my house. I need you to do something for me. And so Rav Michal, who wrote the story, said, I thought for sure, there's got to be something very important. I mean, it's Erev Pesach. Everybody's busy. And my uncle wants me to come and to do something for him. It must be very important. So he said, I burned the chametz quickly. I finished. And I come to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house. And when I come to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house, he's got a whole bunch of envelopes. And they're on the table. They're all sealed. And they're all addressed already. And he says, I want you to deliver these envelopes to these families before Yontif. Very important. So he quickly looks through the envelopes and he recognizes many of these families. They're very poor families. So he says, Uncle, you know, these are families that are very poor, but they probably all got money already. I know I myself gave them money from various organizations. I recognize these addresses. They probably have everything that they need already. It's Erev Yontif. They certainly got what they need for clothes and food or whatever. He says, don't ask me questions, just deliver what I tell you, and a good Yontif. Okay. He goes from house to house to deliver the envelopes, and in one or two houses, they opened the envelopes right in front of him. They were very curious what was inside. And when they opened it, the nephew couldn't believe it. I mean, just like the people couldn't believe it. That night, there was a couple dollars of cash, a couple shkolim of cash, but there were tickets, entry tickets to the Gan HaChayot, to the zoo in Yerushalayim. Every single envelope had tickets to the Gan HaChayot, to the zoo, the famous zoo in Yerushalayim. He could not understand this. What in the world was the rush to get this to these families? First of all, nobody's going to the zoo today, Erev Yontif. They could have been given Chol HaMoed. Why Dafka did he want that it should be given Erev Yontif? So he decided right after Shacharis or Musaf on Thursday Chol HaMoed, he's going to his uncle and he's going to ask him. Listen to how a Gadol thinks. He says, Uncle, I hope you don't mind my asking, but I didn't open the envelopes, but I saw a few people open the envelopes in front of me. Why were you giving tickets to the Gan HaChayot? Listen to what he said. He said, all these families have children. These are very poor families. Everybody takes their kids out someplace on Chol HaMoed. Imagine these kids come to shul on Yontif, and they're talking to their friends. Oh, where are you going, Chol HaMoed? Where's your parents taking you? And everybody's got some place to go, and these poor kids have no place to go because their parents can't afford it. So first of all, they're going to come home from shul. They're going to argue with their parents. They're going to ruin the Simchas Yontif of the parents because the parents have nothing to tell them because they have no money for them, and the kids will feel bad. So they won't have a Simchas Yontif. He says, but now that every child knows he's got a place to go, and this is the place where many people go, he's going to have Yontif. He'll be happy. He'll feel like everybody else. And the parents will have a decent Yontif. That's sensitivity. That's achdus. That's compassion for another person. That's what it's all about. And the unity is not just that everybody did the mitzvah. The unity is that everybody cared for each other. Tonight, in the base, by Rabbi Shippel, they also had a group of young fellows that sang and had Avdolah. And you had to see these fellows who kept Shabbos for the first time, how they're just singing and dancing and just swaying with their hands over each other's shoulders. It was to cry. It was so beautiful. What a beautiful thing to be able to experience. And you know, as I was preparing for this Shabbos, a question came to my mind. I can't believe that I never thought of this question. And I imagine that perhaps some of you, when you hear the question, will also wonder, like, what are we saying all these years? We don't even know what we're saying. We all sing V'Shamru. Nobody can sing it like they sing it. I've heard it many, many times. Maybe they'll sing it afterwards in honor of this Dvar Torah. V'Shamru B'nei Yisrael Asa Shabbos, right? And then it ends, L'Asos Asa Shabbos, and then we say, Kisheshes Yomim Asa Hashem Asa Shemayim V'Asa Oretz. Hashem, in 6 days, He made the earth, the heaven, and the earth. Uvayim Ashvi, and on the seventh day, Shovas Vayinofash. Shavas, he rested. What's Vayinofash? You wouldn't believe what Art Scroll writes. He was refreshed. God has to be refreshed? What does that mean? Hashem, Shavas Vayinofash. You ever think about that? We sing it every Friday night. What are we saying? What does it mean, Shavas? God rested. Okay, what does it mean, God rested? He stopped creating. Fine. What's Vayinofash? And I believe that the answer is something that the Ramban alludes to. Vayinofash, I would make up the word, he ensouled, he gave a spirit of a nefesh to Shabbos and to everything in this world. That's why Shabbos is part of creation, because that's the time when Hashem put a neshama into every single being. Everything has a certain malach. Do you know that the Ramban brings even every blade of grass has a malach in heaven that tells the blade of grass, grow. Everything is spiritual. Hashem created, but man also creates. A man can make a table, he can make a car, he can build a building. But when it came to Shabbos, Hashem did something that nobody else can do. And that he put in a neshama, he put a soul into everything. Every tree, if you believe it or not, has a soul. Every item that's created has a chelik, a lakamimal. That's what God did. Vayinofash, he put a soul into everything. And you know what the Derech Hashem says? You wouldn't believe. He says, we all have a nefesh. But part of our nefesh is in Shamayim on Shabbos. That part of the nefesh comes down, and that's the Neshama Yisera. And the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe says, that's the Pshat, HaPoirei Sukkah Shalom. All of a sudden there's a peace, because there's a togetherness of the spirit that we have on high and the spirit that we have on this world. It's all bound together. That's why on Shabbos we feel a certain holiness, because we're connected to a spirituality that we don't connect with in the middle of the week. And that's what I believe that we have to take with us. On Shabbos, when you daven nishmas, on Shabbos, when you eat the chont, on Shabbos, when you sing zmiras, it's different zmiras than when you get together Tuesday night. Try to eat chont Sunday night. Sometimes I have to do that because, you know, everybody knows leftovers. You know, you get it Sunday night. There's no chont that tastes the same. What is the chont on Shabbos? You know what it is? There's a certain spirituality in the food, in the Torah, in the davening, and that's what we have to take with us. And I want to tell you a magnificent story. I have a daughter-in-law. Her name is Genendel Krohn. It's my son's wife. She's a brilliant woman. She taught in seminaries in Eretz Yisrael. She's an artist. She's a writer. An incredible woman. And now she's teaching the third grade in Waterbury in the Yeshiva Ktana, third grade girls. So this year, in September, when school opened, after 3 days of getting to know the girls, she takes her cell phone and she puts it on the desk. All the girls were surprised. Teachers don't usually take cell phones out. And she says, I'm putting the cell phone on speaker, and I'd like to all of you to listen to the call that I'm about to make. All the girls come up to the desk because they want to hear the call the teacher's going to make. And she dials the White House. The operator answers, and my daughter-in-law says, I'm calling, my name is Mrs. Krohn, I'm calling from the third grade in Waterbury. Can we speak to the president? And the operator says, oh, I'm sorry, he's just very busy. So she says, you know, there are 30 girls here around the desk. We are all citizens of the United States. We would like to ask our president something. The operator says, I'm so sorry, but he's just too busy. He can't talk to you. But maybe you could write him a letter. So my daughter-in-law says, well, do you think he'll read the letter? So the operator says, all the girls are listening. The operator says, well, the president gets 10,000 letters a day, and he's given 10 of them. So I can't really promise that he's going to see the girl's letter. So she says, all the girls are listening. She says, so what you're telling me is that if we call the president, he won't talk to us. And if we write him a letter, he's probably not going to read it. So the operator says, well, you never know. So she says, yeah, but what are the chances? She says, you're probably right. He probably won't see it. She says, oh, so he won't talk to us and he won't read our letter. Thank you so much for your time. And she hangs up and tells the girls to go back to their seats. And she says, I want you to know there's somebody that's busier than the president. And he takes care of billions of people. And you can reach him anytime you want. Anytime, night or day. Open up your sitter. Open up your tillum. You don't even have to write him a letter. You just talk to him. And he's there for you. And I think, you know, how did I hear this story? I was in Toronto, in Ello. And a fellow comes over to me, he says, your daughter-in-law did something. My granddaughter's in her class and made such an impression on all the kids, and it made an impression on me. This grandfather's telling me. It's Baruch Levine's uncle, Rabbi Levine, in Toronto. And the truth is, it makes an impression on everyone. We never think of it that way. And I think that's the spirituality that we take with us from Shabbos. Shabbos, there's a holiness. Shabbos, there's a connection to Hashem. Let's keep that connection. Every single one of us, so many of us here suffer by being alone. And you have nobody to talk to, but you do have somebody to talk to. Open up the tillum. Open up your sitter. And even if you don't open up your tillum and you don't open up a sitter, just face the wall and go to the wall and start talking to Hashem. And Hashem will listen. Sometimes the answers take a while, but Hashem listens. Just remember that that's the spirituality we have to take with us from Shabbos. We make a connection with the Neshama Yisera, we make a heavenly connection, and we have to know that this connection is with us every single day of the week. And I want to close just with one more story. And this story, I think, will teach us such a great lesson. It's such a beautiful story as it develops. But then we'll see at the end how Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky understood this story, and this can set us for life. Listen to this. There was a fellow, let's call him Nachman. He was a yeshiva person here in America. He went through the system. He went into business. He became a prosperous businessman. And he moved his family to Eretz Yisrael. And he was very happy in Eretz Yisrael. Every couple of years, he'd come back to New York to do some business. And then sometimes he would go down to Miami to visit his Israeli cousins that were not frum, Nati and Zahava. Now, it was ironic because Nachman moved his family from America to Eretz Yisrael. And they, Nati and Zahava, went from Eretz Yisrael to get away from Eretz Yisrael. They went down to Miami. And every time that Nachman went down to Miami, of course, he couldn't eat in their home, and they knew that. They would go to a Miami kosher restaurant, or they would order kosher food, takeout, and they would eat on plastic plates or paper plates or whatever. 3 years ago, Nachman comes down to Nati and Zahava's home, and he notices that the yarmulke on Nati's head fits very well. It looks like it's been there for a while. You know, till then, every year he came, it was like a triangle. You know, like it's obviously he just put it up 5 minutes before, you know, Nachman came. But now it just laid very comfortably. And then he looks around, there's a mezuzah on every doorpost. And there's a sefer on the table. And he says, Nati, was that? Has there been a change here that I don't know about? He says, yeah, we became religious. We became Bali Tshuva over the last 2 years. He said, my gosh, you didn't even tell me. That's wonderful. How did it happen? He said, I'll tell you how it happened. He said, one afternoon, it was very hot, and my wife and I, we were sitting on the porch, and all of a sudden, we noticed that there were well-dressed men in suits and shirts and ties. They're all going down to the water. Now, in Miami, if you're going down to the beach, you're not dressed in a suit and a tie. And then he said, oh, I remember. Oh, my gosh, it's Rosh Hashanah. These people are going to Tashlich. He said, wow, I hadn't been to Tashlich in years. He said, I don't know what possessed me. I went into my house, I got my kippah, I put it on my head, and I started walking with the people. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. I wanted to see Tashlich. I hadn't seen it in years. I come down. Obviously, I'm looking different than everybody else. And a guy comes over to me. I see everybody's reading from their Mahzirim. And a guy comes over to me and says, you know how to read Hebrew? I said, what do you mean? I'm Israeli. Of course I know how to read Hebrew, right? So he says, okay, would you like to say, you know what everybody's saying? He said, yeah, I'll say it. Fine. Then another guy comes over to me, says, did you hear Shofar today? So he says, happens to be, no, I didn't. Actually, I haven't heard Shofar in years. The guy says, you know, I'm the Baal Tokeah. I blow Shofar for the people in this shul. I happen to have my Shofar with me. Would you like me to blow Shofar for you? Imagine you're sitting at Tashlich, all of a sudden that guy's blowing Shofar. I just think Mashiach's coming, right? So the guy takes out his little shofar and he blows 30 koyleis like everybody's turning around. And he thanks him very much. And he's about to leave. So the Baal Tokeah says to him, listen, I just want to tell you, my name is Moshe Katz. And he's thinking like, who cares what you, you know, like we're not friends. Like, I don't care who you are. But he says, no, I just want to tell you again. He says, my name is Moshe Katz. And if you want to have a connection to me or to the rabbi, you know, the synagogue is not so far from you. You could always call me and I'll arrange it. He thanks him again, and he leaves, and he thinks, like, you know, tell this guy to get a life. Like, you know, I have no connection. He comes home. His wife asks him, so how is everything? And he tells her the whole story, how the guy asked him if he knows how to read. And he said, of course, I'm an Israeli, you know, and I read that Tashlich. And then this guy blew Shofar, and he insisted on telling me his name was Moshe Katz. So his wife said, what'd you say his name was? He said, Moshe Katz. Why? Her face goes white. He says, is everything okay? She says, Moshe Katz, that was the name of my grandfather. He died a long time ago. He was the Baal Tokeah in Bialystok. He was the one who blew shofar for all the people in Bialystok. I cannot believe that after all these years, a man named Moshe Katz blew shofar for you. And they both get the chills, like they can't believe it. Obviously, this has been orchestrated, you know, from above. And they're both so taken by this. And after Yontif, they decide to go to the local rabbi. And the rabbi was a very wonderful, caring, sensitive person. And he was the one who brought them back to tshuva. And Nachman hears this story. He embraces God. He can't believe it. And wherever he goes, Nachman is telling this story to everyone. Finally, when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, he comes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he tells Rav Chaim this story. And he says, Rebbe, could you believe this story? And Rav Chaim says, of course these things happen every day. Hashem orchestrates wondrous things every day. We don't always see it or understand it, but Hashem does that every day. He says, Rebbe, do you mind if I ask you a question? Now listen to this question. The question is a great question and the answer is even better. He says, Rebbe, I just want to ask you, if Hashem wanted my cousins to become religious, why didn't he send them Moshe Katz 10 years ago? Good question, right? If Hashem wanted that they should become religious, he could have sent Moshe Katz 10 years ago. Listen to what Rav Chaim said. He said, God waits for people to take the first step. And once he got his kippah and he walked down to Tashlich, Hashem sent him his Moshe Katz. And that's a great lesson in life. We have to take the first step. When you take the first step and you show Hashem that you're sincere, that you care, that you want to become close to Him, He's going to send you the Moshe Katz. And that's what this Shabbos is all about. This Shabbos was the first step. The first step of unity in Klal Yisrael. And whether or not you participated in a project, but you had a Shabbos, even in your own home, even if you are alone, but you probably daven different than when you daven on Sunday and Monday. You probably enjoy the food or the surroundings, the serenity of Shabbos, more than you enjoy the tranquility on a Tuesday and Wednesday, which is literally impossible. That's the first step. Let's take this Shabbos with us. Let's take that Vayinofash. Shovas, Hashem rested, Vayinofash, but He put a helikait, He put a soul into everything of life. That's what He did on Shabbos. And that's why Shabbos is holy. And that's why it occurred to me, why is it called Pikuach Nefesh? It's not called Pikuach Guf. When you save somebody, it's Pikuach Guf also, right? No, it's not the reason, because Shabbos has a Nefesh. A Nefesh is more important than a Guf, but a person has a bigger Nefesh. A bigger nefesh than Shabbos. What is your nefesh? That's your vision. That's your talent. That's your emotion. That's your mindset. That's what the nefesh is. And there's nothing like the nefesh in mankind. Every one of us is blessed with that. Every one of us made a connection to that chelik of our nefesh in Shemayim. Now, it's about to ebb until the next Shabbos. But we take it along with us. And we want that holiness, that nafshius, should accompany us. We can take the first step. We did it on Shabbos. Tonight, before you go to sleep, and when you say Shema, stop and say Shema in more than 4 seconds. Think about the words. Think about the commitment to Yiddishkeit, your commitment to Hashem. If you're not going to say the whole Shema, at least the first parsha of Shema. Say it like you never said it before. Don't be texting. Don't be reading emails. Don't be doing anything else just at that time. Make that connection tonight. And then tomorrow, whether you say brochas and whether you daven, whatever you do, just remember, we are all nafshiyas dika people. Shovas vayinofash. Hashem gave us a spirituality. Let's carry this spirituality every day of the week. And like this, then we'll be able to make that ultimate connection to Hashem. The connection of Achdus to all of us. The connection to Hashem so we should merit that Mashiach should come. And that, as the woman said before me, that next year we'll all be able to get together with Freilich HaHertzer, with happy hearts, together with Mashiach and Yerushalayim HaBnuya. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. Good vach.